this on broadcast right now, so bear with us just for a moment. I think we're going live. Welcome everybody on the phone call. If you'd like to sometime, we'd love to have you join us also on the video broadcast. We're just waiting for everyone to come back on. As I mention every week, when we turn the video on, it kicks everyone off who's waiting, and they're coming back now. So, okay, we've got this on record. Everybody all set? We'd like to welcome you all to the Tuesday night celebration of life. We have a very exciting topic to discuss this evening. We'd like to welcome all of those who are visiting with us for the first time. We sure hope you feel welcome. Pull out a pen and a paper and let's take some notes tonight. We're going to talk about one of the most important topics in all of the six qualities of an intentional creator. It's going to be goal setting. So we'll take this one on with Ernest tonight and see if I can assist you in creating, as Og calls, objectives so that our life will crystallize, actually come together and be meaningful. We're so excited to have you with us. It's wonderful to be here every Tuesday night. This is one of my favorite experiences, both preparing for and delivering this experience on our coaching. If you would like to participate, you can do so online with our chat. You'd get a Ustream account if you don't have one. I know several of you do. We have some guests on the line now. Just text us a message, and we'll be able to track that and do our best to answer it this evening. Also, if you'd like to participate on the telephone, you have a question, you can text me at 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. I just noticed that my phone needs to be plugged in so that we don't lose a charge entirely. So please text us if you have a question. We would love to be able to address your questions as we go through this process. Now, leading up to this point, we've talked about connection with people, the importance of stepping into someone's world and taking down walls of resistance. Last evening, I had just an amazing coaching session with a group of individuals from a company called Zango. We're doing a group with Zango, a group with New Skin, a group with Live International, some just wonderful people, so passionate about what they're doing in their business. And that's a tough business in the sense that it's easy to get excited about making unlimited amounts of income. It's quite another to be able to talk to our friends and neighbors and acquaintances about the business, and many people are very uncomfortable. So we teach people how to take the icky, what we call the icky, out of recruiting, where there's not a strategic conversation about how do I get this into the conversation. People can feel it coming. We feel uncomfortable doing it. Taking all of that out by honoring people, listening, stepping into their world, taking down their walls of resistance, and letting things unfold naturally if it would serve someone. And last night we had four people share with us incredible stories of how they use these gifts to bless the lives of others. It's so exciting to know that these principles are true, and I want you to know personally. And to do that, you'll want to practice. That means that we're going to be looking for what's important to someone, and then we're going to verbalize it. Then we're going to listen for doors, those verbal hints about what someone is thinking, and step into their world. The gift is listening. The gift isn't our agenda, and it isn't our baggage for sure, our need to be right or fix or justify, defend. The gift is listening. It's a lost art. That when we listen, there is something nearly magical that happens in a person's life. As we see the walls slowly come down, we become safe, a safe place. There are very few safe places. I've asked this question thousands of times to coaching clients over the years. When was the last time someone cared enough about you to listen without needing to fix you? Until you knew that they knew where you really were. They just listened. I've only had four or five people give me the name of someone. I asked this question Friday night at a leadership conference with 20 people. Nobody could think of someone. Well, that's not true. One person thought of their leader because their leader had actually done that for her. But it's so rare. It is so rare and so undervalued. yet it is the most important gift we can give another person. Our full, absolute, undivided attention in an effort to truly understand where they are without needing to fix them. Actually caring enough to do so. It's magical. And when those walls are down, it's quite interesting. The depth of the conversations, the richness of the conversations, how interesting we become by just being interested. So we encourage you to keep practicing these principles in whatever line of work that you're involved in. And then just listen. When you get done talking, don't give an answer. This isn't about listening so we can respond. This is listening so that we understand. We would never make a comment. We would probably, at best, ask a question. Help me understand this just a little bit more. Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Now I understand. That's it. Great gift. Quality number two is about mental creation. There are two forms of creation, two stages, if you will, of creation. We create in our mind, get a clear vision that ignites our passion, literally part of our brain that we normally don't use, ignites our passion and drives our focus, discipline, effort, and action. That's what mental creation is about. There is a force of creation. There is a power. I call that power God. You can call that power whatever you choose. I don't find that power to be offended. The recognition and honoring of that power is very important. And when we seek to know how to serve a person, when we really want to engage in life, we want to create value everywhere we go, we will receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will bless the lives of other people and ultimately our own. This is the way creation is supposed to occur. Creation is not about becoming so wealthy that we can buy a tropical island somewhere and hide out from the human race because we're sick and tired of annoying people. That is not creation. And I can promise you that there is not a force anywhere in this universe that will grant that to you, because it is in direct violation of every law of creation. It's saying, I want to skip the growth. I want to skip the stretching. I want to skip the very process that would help me become all that I can be. I don't really want to know my genius. I don't really want to know my ability. I just want the tropical island so I can get away from annoying people. I just want a life without stress and pain and frustration. Can you feel how silly that almost sounds when we reflect on it in that vein? But yet, most of us at some point or another will ask for that. And that request is never, ever, never, ever granted. But yet, when we choose to engage in life, let's come alive. Let's embrace these principles. Let's connect with people and create value in their lives and in our lives, the lives of everyone we come in contact with, and let's contribute to the world. When we make that decision to play at that level, we very literally open up the windows of heaven. And things are manifest to us, not tangible reality, not in this part of the process, not in this stage, mental creation. In this stage, we are guided with an inspired idea, impression, and solution to problems, so we know what needs to be done. There isn't a force in this universe that's going to do the work for us, but we're going to have a clear vision that gets us so excited we're willing to go do whatever is necessary to create that vision in tangible reality. Can we feel this? We've said this, and I'll keep repeating it. This is so clear in my mind, this preparation that we go through. And then we have realization, and in between is the work of creation. So we get prepared, we do the work, and we find joy in the journey. We grow, we stretch, we find ourselves. And then we get to realization, and we celebrate, and we start all over again. I was writing this morning on the topic of fear. And quite often, we can get engaged in a process where we're searching, we're reading, we're studying, we're watching, looking for that easy way. and we can do self-improvement in ad nauseum if we're doing it to find a way to avoid the work of creation. As I said this morning, this is the portal through which creation occurs. We take action. It is fear that holds us back. Absolutely fear that holds us back. Fear of being controlled, fear of our own ability, fear of the unknown. And as Og said, when I finally jump in, I know that to conquer this fear, I must act without hesitation. And the flutters in my heart will vanish. For now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, to peace of mind. This is such a great thing to know, because the pain that we experience in the resistance to the work of creation is so enormous. And part of the reason why we're going to go through this goal-setting process tonight is to ignite our passion, to bring us right to the door, knowing exactly why we're doing what we're doing today, and then jumping in to do. Nobody can do it for us. There's not an easy way. Well, there's an easier way, passion-driven. But there's not a way to avoid this portal. This is the portal through which all creation occurs. So if we want to have creation in our life, want to actually realize our dreams in tangible reality, we're going to want to know how to come to this edge, ready to jump in and then just jump in and do it. Because if we spend a lot of time resisting, it's painful. But the instant we jump in, we just jump in, almost always people say, wow, that wasn't so hard. And followed by, why did I wait so long? If there's anything I could do to serve you on the phone tonight or any Tuesday night or on the video broadcast in these coaching sessions, is to take you to the edge and inspire you to jump. I've quoted many times Josh Groban from Josh Groban's song, Let Me Fall. Let me fall. Let me rise. There's a time when fears and dreams must collide. The one I am. The one I want to be. Will find my courage. We find ourselves when we jump. That's when our genius finally shows up. That's when all our power shows up. Before that, it's just a bunch of unhealthy habits of thinking holding us back. That's not who we are. We're men and women of action. We're men and women of creation. We're powerful. And we start to discover that power when we make the choice to take the action. Well, I believe that it's easier to take the action when you know why you're taking it. Otherwise, the action, the work of creation, is just boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome and time-consuming. It's laborious. Why would we ever want to do it that way? So our goal-setting process that we're going to go through tonight is designed to make taking the action easier. Passion-driven, standing on the edge, ready to jump. Are we going to jump? If we know why we're jumping, it's much easier. What we do know is the instant we jump. As Og said, now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, peace of mind. It's almost instant. I got an email yesterday from a client who is sharing with me something we'll be talking about next week, which is the physical creation and being present in the now. And he was mentally rehearsing, which we talked about last week, vividly visualizing a future event, getting clear about what needs to be done and everything that needs to be done leading up to it, seeking inspiration, and created an amazing miracle this week. Ramona was right here when I read the email. She could tell you I got emotional. I got emotional because I knew in my heart that he just saw a new facet of life he had never touched before. He was successful in his own right, but never to the level that he was successful in the last 7 days. It's a whole new perspective. He crossed through that portal and, looking back the other way, saw life totally different. And I'm becoming increasingly convinced that most of us have not spent very much time on the other side of the portal. We go through the motions. We get through the day. But are we really, truly in intentional creation? Well, this is where we get serious about intentional creation, because we're going to get clearer on what it is that we want. And then we're going to get clearer on the steps required to get there. And then each morning when we wake up, we'll know exactly why we're doing what we're doing, as it moves us one step closer to our dreams. This is a glorious way to live. It's not always perfect. It's not always smooth. But persistence over time makes creation real. So let's get clear about something. Goal setting doesn't work unless our intention is to engage. It's the truth. If our intention is just to have something and what it'll be like after we have it, it's called fantasy. Ooh, I want to be there. We make that dream board. Instead of making it a target, which is beautiful, we make it a daily destination that we go visit in our mind. We go there and we begin living out these vivid scenarios of what it's going to be like. And then we can't figure out why we don't have a why big enough to drive action. Here's the answer. Fantasy, going to the future and seeing that clearly, will never create the passion necessary to drive the work, because we have intentionally skipped all the work and just desired the outcome. I just want to go from here to here. I just want to have that and then experience what it'll be like then. Life is lived between now and there. That's where we live life. We're basically saying, I want to skip life. Well, if I want to skip life, there is no why. And we can also lie to ourselves about our why. Well, my why is my children, is my wife, and they're the most important thing to me. Yet when I'm lying in bed late at night, what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about my wife having a better life and my children having a better life and creating that, and what do I do tomorrow to make that happen? Or am I off in the Caribbean or the Caribbean, depending on how you want to say it, tomato, tomato, scuba diving in my mind, and then getting on my Learjet after proper decompression and flying to France for a fancy dessert and a glass of wine? What am I really thinking about? What is my secret desire? Secret desire, that tells us whether we have a why that will ignite passion. Because if our secret desire is ease, we will never experience passion. The very mental process of fantasy precludes the very event of passion. That's simple. If we want passion, to have passion requires the manifestation of an inspired idea, impression, or a solution to a problem. Now, interestingly enough, that manifestation can only come when our secret desire is to engage in life. Now, I can appreciate the fact that many people on the call tonight may be exhausted. Life is just beating them down. David, I've got that kind of energy. That's why the principles. Not going there today. Remember that from last week? We're not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting. I'm staying in creation so that I can, in fact, be in a place where I could receive an inspired idea or an impression. I'm going to stay focused on serving people. So I would encourage you, because there will be some days, as Og says, when our thought processes would just constantly try to pull us down. Constantly. We fight through those. And if we get inflicted with despair, as Og says, I'll work on in despair. I'll keep my eyes on the goal above my head, ignore the obstacles at my feet, for I know where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I've shared that with you many times. Where dry desert ends, green grass grows. While we're pushing forward, we're still on the dry sand, right? We're still on the dry part till we get to the green grass. Og's telling us the green grass does exist, no matter how bleak it looks right now. If we are persistent in creation, we will, in fact, reach green grass. That's the promise. How many days? How many steps? I don't know, it might be 1,000 or 2. But one step at a time is not too much. Now, assist us in all this. Let's get right into goal setting. Because goal setting, for us to catch this inspired idea impression, it will be essential that we truly are focused on another person. We've talked about this one a number of times for those of you who've been through this process before, because most of you are here for 40 weeks. We're cycling through these 4 times. We're going a little bit deeper each time. Each time just a little different. This time is a little different. I want to take you to a relationship. I'm becoming increasingly concerned about relationships. As this recession takes a deeper bite into families' finances, it seems to be taking an equally big bite out of relationships. There is a tremendous amount of stress on everyone. A lot of pressure, and some people are better equipped to handle the stress than others. This is a time when, in a companionship, committed companionship, the two companions pull together and focus on the other. And to make sure that we don't burden them with too many details, if necessary, if possible, and two, that we are sensitive to where they are. This is a time for intrinsic validation. This is a time for just listening. I share with you personal moments. Last night, Ramona and I were sitting in the theater room. It was late, and we caught a late showing of a show we wanted to watch, and then we just turned off the television and sat there and just talked. It was a moment to just catch up. How you doing, sweetheart? How's all this impacting you? Just listening. No justification, no taking of anything personally, just a safe place for a companion to be understood and heard. There has never been a time in my lifetime where this principle is more important. This is a time when we are going to be frayed a little bit on the edges. And as Og says in Scroll 2, just like love is my weapon to open the hearts of men, it is also my shield to repulse the arrows of hate and the spears of anger. It tells us to wear this so that we can turn those spears and arrows into the softest of rain. Because if we don't, and we don't have our awareness up, our agape love, our awareness is up, those arrows are going to hit us in the heart. I had a client ask me today in a coaching session, why is it that I react the way that I do? And he was actually asking for an answer, so I provided it. I said, take a look at your assessment. Look in the internal world. And we looked at whole and complete, confident, valiant, peaceful, pragmatic. It was very clear that the dialogue he was having with himself about himself was very destructive, very painful. And when his awareness was not up and his wife said something to him in her frustration, she was like the voice inside his own head. He didn't like it when his own thought processes are saying to him, and he liked it even less when his wife said the same thing to him. And it triggered what we call a systemic thought. Systemic thoughts need to be right. It's all about right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. And when systemic thoughts take over, it's like when we're fantasizing, we get, or catastrophizing, we get that cortisol surging through our body. We feel really anxious and impatient, and we want to be right, and we want to share our point, and we cut off people's sentences. And you know, have you ever felt that? And then we got those fear dendrites from our fight or flight center shutting down the very parts of our brain, empathy, that would cause us to be kind and thoughtful. And from a practical standpoint, respectful. And in that moment of weakness, we could say things. Because he said, why did I say that? He told me something. He said, why did I say that? I said, that's why. Because the part of your brain that would have stopped you from saying it was shut down. The question was, an hour later, everything had settled down. Did you have one of those moments where you went, oh, crap. What have I done? Yeah. Because then the fear dendrites have bled off the brain. The cortisol has bled out of the body. And we return to our full stature. Our empathy's alive and awake. All the energy's been turned back on. The light switches are all back on. The lights are back on in the room. And all of a sudden, with the lights on, we're going, oh, no. What have I done? What's the answer to this? This is why we read the scrolls. We read the scrolls, scroll 2 in particular, so that we can be preemptive. We can be prepared before we have the conversation, before it occurs. So that when somebody's angry with us, we know they're just angry, they're frustrated. Maybe it's something we've done. Maybe it's just they've got issues that day that are causing some challenges for them. And we step back, and we just listen. We don't react. We hold up our awareness, and it turns those arrows into the softest of rain. And we do all that we can to address the issues that we can address. And then we just let it go. Why? Because if we react, we just create more problems. We push their buttons. They push our buttons. We push their buttons. Somebody gets hurt. We never want to hurt someone. We don't want to be right at the expense of crushing someone we love. So as we're doing goal setting on a relationship, it's so important that we be aware and awake, especially in today's climate, that our spouse or our companion is okay. And there might be periods of time, it could be days or weeks, where we are giving more than they are. I know Ramona's done this for me many times. It's so precious to watch. Retrospectively, I look back and I don't know where she pulls the strength. But she gives. Let us be the giver in a relationship. Because we all handle pressure differently, and we certainly have enough of it in today's world. Well, as we're looking at this prospect of a relationship, and I've shared with you many times, those of you who have been through this process, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you've been through this, that you actually do it intently this time. Remember, we walk up to the water's edge. Will you jump in? Will you consciously make the choice to actually do this? As my client Tom said this week, I made the decision to read the scrolls 3 times a day, and it made such a huge difference this last week. Really committing to do it, his choice, he wanted to do it. Well, imagine as we're doing this goal setting that we really want to do it. Because if you do, you will engage this week in a visualization. Your visualization will take you to a time in the future. And in my version of this, I go to age 85. Go to age 85. At age 85, I put Ramona and I somewhere that we love to be right now. That's the back porch of our cabin. It's been rented most of the summer. We can't wait for September to come to get it back. Sitting on the back porch of the cabin, holding hands, looking into each other's eyes, knowing that there were many, many times when we probably wanted to say something and didn't because we loved and respected the other person. We gave them space to deal with an issue or a health challenge, emotionally or physical. We served because we love those we serve. We truly wanted this person to be our companion. This was our choice. Our choice. You know, some people say, gosh, am I going to miss out on something? If I make 100% commitment to this person, who am I not going to know? And I say, what will you not know? Because there are things you will not know until that commitment's been made at that level. That this is the one in whom I am going to pour my life. And vice versa. Age 85. Now at age 85 we ask some questions. What is our financial condition? How are our finances? How is our physical health? Our spiritual health? How's our family? What's the condition of our relationship? Those are the questions we ask. Because everything that we're going to do can play into this for every other thing, our goal setting in business and otherwise. Now, if you're saying, I really don't want to have a relationship with someone like this, that doesn't make you a lesser person. Not at all. You're just very independent. So you might go to age 85 and just find out where you are. You may be on the back porch of a wonderful cabin overlooking a lake and have your favorite dog lying in your lap, just licking your chin. What a wonderful thing to be there with a pet that you just love to death. Just there, peaceful. Ask yourself the same questions. What's my financial condition? What's my health? What's the condition of my spiritual health? If I have a family, what's the condition of the family? What's the condition of my relationships with people in general? Ask yourself those questions. Now, I'm going to use a relationship for this example. The question that we want to ask once we see this vision. Now, this vision is not going to happen in fantasy. This vision is truly, really committed to engaging in life and embracing principles and connecting with this person and serving them and creating value everywhere we go, contributing to that relationship. With that intention, see the vision. Just be with it. It may not come at first. It may not be something you've ever considered before. So start considering it till you see the vision. Because once you see it, if your intention is true, it will ignite your passion, light up part of your brain you normally don't use. You'll get ideas and impressions, and I'll tell you where they'll start coming. Because you'll ask this question. What have I done from August 2nd, 2011, today? What have I done from today until age 85 to create that outcome? What have I done? What helped create this feeling? And now we're going to break it into time frames and see if you can start to see possibilities. Because when the ideas start to come and the impressions start to come, you know that you're tapping into passion. And you can trust that which comes. So we go a year out. We say, what are we going to do in the next year? And we recommend that you select a period of time, about 7 days, when it's just the two of you somewhere in the world. It doesn't need to be expensive. It just needs to happen. That's 7 days where you check out. I was working with an associate this last couple of weeks who was out of town, and bless her heart, she turned off her phone. It was frustrating not to be able to reach her on one hand, but it was very powerful to watch her set that boundary. And she came back absolutely refreshed. It was brilliant, just brilliant. You're going to want a 7-day rest like this, where you are totally focused on your companion. Walks, talks, naps. Maybe a jacuzzi, maybe a swim, maybe skiing, whatever it might be. Maybe it's Hawaii. Maybe it's a local campground. someplace where you can be alone, just the two of you. Imagine what that would be like, and start to get the feeling of where you could go and be open to possibilities. Just let your imagination, your mental rehearsal go wild. This is a healthy use of your vivid visualization. It's basically saying to that force of creation, what should I plan for? What would be perfect to bless the life of my companion, would bring us closer together? What would it be? And you get an inspired idea. Wow, yeah. Get an impression of where you are. You might actually find yourself somewhere in your mind. Where is that? Oh, my goodness. That's there. Okay. Maybe I should start researching that one. And we have ideas, and now we got reasons for thinking during the course of the day, for getting on our computer and going and doing internet searches. We're looking for this place and the perfect cost for hotel rooms or air flights or whatever might be involved or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, there's something very exciting around those 7 days. And be prepared for your thought processes to say, in today's economy, how do we pay for that? Well, when we do financial goal setting, part of the financial goal setting is to pay for that. Now we got a reason for working at the end of the day when we normally might quit. We look for one more thing to do, just one more thing. When we feel like taking a nap in the middle of the day, we talk ourselves out of it. Unless we're tired and we need the rest, that's okay. But this is when our tired body wants to drag us home and we just push one. We're pushing because we want to create the revenue for that week. Oh, man, it's exciting to do what's got to be done for that because I can't wait to be there. And we have something to look forward to, that magnificent on an annual basis. Can you feel it? I can feel this. I can't wait till we get done here. Ramon and I are going to go for a little drive tonight, and we'll talk about this while we're driving. We always do after a goal-setting exercise. Next thing is, what are we going to do each quarter? Each quarter. It's important that we have at least a 3-day getaway on a quarterly basis. What am I going to do for vacation? What am I going to do for the kids? How am I going to take it? Isn't that wonderful? That's what we do with our mind, is work on solving those problems. There's a solution. There absolutely is a solution. Who could take care of the kids? Could I take care of somebody else's while they're taking, you know, later on for them, taking care of mine? Some creative solution. There is a solution. You can find it, and you'll now have a reason for your mind to stay in creation. Not going there, not going to that dark dungeon today, because I need to find, or want to find, a solution to the babysitting challenge for next quarter's retreat. Isn't that exciting? I got a reason for staying in creation. A quarterly retreat. This is a 3-day. This is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday getaway. Leave early Friday morning or even Thursday night. Again, it doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be scheduled. Again, we're not worrying about cost. Don't do something outrageous if your finances are limited. Do something a little bigger than you normally might do, and then we'll work toward finding the solution for covering that cost, that purpose for having that quarterly retreat. Can you feel that one? Every 90 days, you're with this person you love for 3 days. Phones off. No texting, no emails. Just the two of you. Imagine. Wow. Now, what are we going to do every month? What are we going to do every month? I recommend at least one day. It doesn't even have to be an overnight. It could just be a Saturday. It's a day where you turn to your companion and say, okay, our monthly day is in 2 weeks. Sweetheart, what would be the ideal thing for you to do that day? What would you love to do? Now, if you're going to ask, be open to what she says or he says, and that's what you do. This is a day when the phone's turned off, no text messaging, no phone calls, no emails. Just totally present with each other. Just having a moment of being. Imagine every month looking forward to that day. Weekly. Now I can almost hear somebody on this call going, we've been down this line before, haven't we? And I say, yeah. Here's the question. Are you having your weekly date? Non-negotiable. Are you having it? Yes, we've talked about this. Yes, we've been through it. But this isn't about talking about it. This is about scheduling it and doing it. I'm going to take you to the water's edge, give you a purpose for doing this. You want to have this relationship at age 85? This is burning in your soul? Then we do this yearly activity, quarterly, monthly, and weekly. Weekly, we have a non-negotiable date night. Now, we're empty nesters here now. We've had a few of our date nights here at home because we're so busy all week long. But we'll go rent a movie and get a couple steaks from Costco and just have a wonderful evening together. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to go out and do something, get away from the house. If you have small children, you absolutely have got to get away from the home. Fathers, you've got to get those moms out of the house so they can get their sanity. They've been talking baby talk now for 6 days. They need a moment with you, just you, for a night to talk. Mothers who don't want to leave your young children to somebody else, find somebody you can trust. Your husband needs you. Your companion is the most important person in your life on this planet. Your children come second. They just come second. That doesn't make them less than. It just makes a companion more than. I just know from our experience in raising 7 children that our children knew that we loved each other unconditionally, and they never had to worry about our family falling apart. They knew we loved them, but they knew we loved each other more. And it did not cause a threat. It actually was a blessing. So we have the weekly date. Spend this time together. It's not important what you do. You can sit in the car like we have many times. What do you want to go, sweetheart? I don't know. You want dinner? Sure, yeah. What do you want to go? I don't know. What do you like? I don't know. What do you want? Who cares? Because in the end, you just hold each other's hand and you just say, it's just so good to be here. No phone calls, no text messages, just here with you. How cool is that? This is a great blessing, a weekly, non-negotiable date. Now, we have missed a week or two because I was out of town or something, or something will happen like that. But I think in 36 years, there's probably not more than 10 times. Would you say that's about right, sweetheart? Or less? And Ramona's nodding her head, yes, 10 times or less. In 36 years that we've missed our non-negotiable date night. This is something we're definitely going to want to do. This has been one of the greatest blessings in our life. Even when we had 7 children home from 0 to 10, like 1 week, or not a week, but a month to 10 years of age. They were 7 and 10 years. We found somebody who we could trust. Even when money was tight, just to be together. So make that non-negotiable. If I sound passionate about this, these are the things that make the difference. You know, people talk about doing all kinds of other things as a family. It's these moments of just being together. Because on a daily basis, we want to do what we did last night. Not go to bed at night before there's a moment of connection. Even if it's just for a few moments. Just sitting. A few nights ago, I was sitting in a big chair in our bedroom, just kind of unwinding after a very long day. And Ramona came tootling out with a towel and some oil. And I knew it was coming. She was going to rub my feet. Now, I feel guilty about that for a moment or two. Isn't that wonderful? She's rubbing my feet, and we're just connecting at a wonderful, deep, and rich level. That's what we want to do on a daily basis. A kind word, a little extra hug. If you want to, and you're religious at all or spiritual, you might consider praying together, kneeling down in the morning, kneeling down at night, having a prayer. That's been a great blessing in our life. Ramona's always the voice in the morning. I'm always the voice at night. Sometimes those prayers are very short because we're exhausted, and sometimes they're just heartfelt. But those are things that we do on a daily basis because we're absolutely intent on creating that which you've so clearly seen in your mind. And I can promise you that at age 85, when you're sitting next to one another holding hands, and you're looking back at everything you've created since August 2nd, 2011, this will be a day you'll put in your journal. You'll reflect on all those date nights, all those little warm hugs, all those moments of intrinsic validation, those monthly days together, those quarterly retreats, those annual vacations. Just those things alone. Kind words on a daily basis. A weekly non-negotiable date. A monthly day, quarterly retreat, annual vacation. Your age 85 vision will come true. Just will. We can add to that being faithful in every way when you're apart. Where your eyes go. Never would you want to go someplace on the internet that would violate those feelings you have for a companion. Never. Never would you want to flirt or open up doors for dangerous situations. Now, some of us may have had challenges like that in the past, and this isn't to make anybody feel bad. It's just today's a new day. Today, I begin a new life. August 2nd. Today, I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today, I'm born anew. Be born anew. Shed that old skin. I must make these decisions. Well, that's a relationship. I hope you can feel this. Some of you are in relationships that are not ideal. And some could be in a relationship that's harmful. It's actually abusive. I want you to know that some of these things I've discussed are probably off the table. It's important that you seek help from someone in the clergy or in the law enforcement, someone, a counselor, someone who can give you some guidance to bless you, because there are so many painful situations going on in relationships. What I've shared with you is somewhat idyllic, possible, absolutely possible. So we start where we are. Instead of going and trying to force this on a companion tonight, you know, start by you intrinsically validating a little bit more on a daily basis. Maybe making arrangements so that you can go on a date this week. Start slow. Build up to what we've shared tonight. And be patient in the building. It'll be worth the effort if it can be implemented. Some situations it won't. Some relationships just plain won't last. Because one person or both are just unwilling to do what's necessary. And bless your heart if you're in one of those. Bless your heart. I've reflected and mentioned a few times on these calls a dear friend of ours whose husband was a doctor, had an affair with a nurse, divorced her, left her with three boys and a girl, and nearly destitute. Had the privilege of working with her 15 years ago. More than that now. And I gave her some coaching counsel back then, and many, many times with others since. If you are alone and you'd like a relationship, just follow a simple pattern. Get clear on what it is you're looking for. Don't compromise. Compromise for companionship just equals disaster. Second of all, get clear on what that person's going to want and be looking for in their life. And do an inventory. What is it about what I'm doing now? Habits that I might have? Things that I could work on that could help me become that person? They're already in me. I'm just not fully maximizing them. There might seem bad, some bad habits that really aren't healthy. If I were to consciously take the action to shift those bad habits and become that person, what's going to happen, Dave? I'll repeat till I'm dead and in my grave the experience we had when our doorbell rang, and there she stood. 800-mile trip to introduce us to her dream. She was prepared. their life, and they wanted to have us meet him. How wonderful that was. As I meet with another dear coaching client this month, his child celebrated his first birthday, and they're celebrating their first year in their new home, and his wonderful job, and his career, and the excitement he has for life, knowing that we started coaching on his way to a rehab center 8 years ago. That's quite a journey to go from being a crystal meth addict to an outstanding, unbelievable human being who, when he was ready, she walked right into his life. She, too, had been on a parallel journey. Their life is just beautiful. Oh, there's always issues in lives. It's not like a fairy tale. Everybody's working through their stuff. But in consideration of the stuff that we work through, they just got this wonderful relationship. So don't despair. What we can't do is wallow in our pity, in our bad habits, wondering why the universe is not magically manifesting a companion. It requires that we show up engaged in life, embracing these principles, connecting with and serving others, creating value and creating change in our own life, so that we can become our very best self, not a different person, just our very best self, and so that we can show up. I'd like to talk, we're going to save a discussion for finances for next week. I want to talk about one more, because many on the phone, whether you have your own individual business, home-based business, or opportunities, most of you have a day job. Most of you have an income that comes from an employer. As you know, when I wrote the last chapter that many of you have read that was in the newsletter this last month, Secret Desires and Real Intentions, I talked about my father as an example in the workplace, and we've talked many times since, about how many people go through the motions at work. They're busy. They put in the time. They go through the motions. They work hard. But they're missing one critical piece, that when they find it, they fall in love with what they're doing, no matter what it is. They decide to create results and do whatever is required to create them. They're not putting in time. They're vision-driven, passion-driven, mission-driven, creating value every day, focused on creating results. It's unheard of in today's workplace. It's a tragedy. We have millions of Americans going to work every morning, often with employers to rob them of creativity and appreciation, intrinsic value. There's a lot of workplaces that are not very pleasant. Now, there are some really wonderful places. I don't want to suggest that. It's just a very pervasive challenge in our country. It's one of the reasons why we're in trouble. The employer who catches the vision for intrinsically validating an employee has released to him a huge reserve of cooperation and productivity. Here's the secret. We're going to want to release it whether we're intrinsically validated or not. And not necessarily as a reward to an incompetent employer, because we're practicing being a creator. There's not a better place to practice than the workplace. We're practicing bringing our very best to everything. When we do, we let go of resistance and rebellion and anger and frustration. We awaken our genius. Our real self comes alive. We get to meet who we are. We get to stretch and grow. And if nobody else appreciates it, there is a force of creation that absolutely sees it. A kindred soul. Someone who wants to take the clay they've been given and create the most they can with it. Someone who shows up and intrinsically validates others, whether they are or not. Someone who chooses to bring their very best to everyone, because that's who they want to become. They fall back in love with what they're doing, and they come home energized from having done so. And then they can apply that energy to building another business if they choose to. Otherwise, they wear themselves out trying to resist doing everything they can do. It's exhausting holding back. It's exhausting going half speed. And when we get home, that easy chair looks really comfortable. We sit down in it, and we make this absolute promise to ourselves that tomorrow will be different. We will take on our business and do something then. And tomorrow never comes. I just want to encourage all of you from the bottom of my soul. I know many great men, one of them being my own father, who understood this principle of bringing his very, very best to everything he did. The instructions he was given by his grandfather, my great-grandfather, Asa Blanchard, while standing in a hayfield. Asa spoke to my dad. My dad was standing on the hay wagon, rocks in his pockets so he'd weigh enough to tromp down the hay. Grandpa Asa looked at him and said, "Do your very best in everything you do, everything you do." It is harder to do when we don't have support from someone who appreciates what we are doing. But we're not doing this necessarily for them. We're doing this so that we can grow. So that we can, as Og said, that flame that burns inside of me, passed down from generations uncounted, that's a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. We've decided to take on life, and it has been my experience that everyone who makes this choice has doors of opportunity open up that nobody else will ever see. I had this conversation recently with a client about an employee who wanted to be paid more than everybody else because he'd been there the longest. We had a wonderful conversation around intrinsic validation and encourage him to fall back in love with what he's doing. It's an interesting challenge. Sense of entitlement. Been here the longest, you get paid the most. He said, "I don't pay based on longevity. I pay based on value of contribution." I had a wonderful employer. Value of contribution. Let us be the one who provides the value, falls back in love with what we're doing, discovers the energy that only comes when we let go and do that. May we in our relationships, and if we're in a committed relationship, go through this goal setting process. If you can do it now with them in partnership, that would be wonderful. Next week we're going to talk about the financial aspects of goal setting. How do we set a financial goal and actually accomplish it? I'll walk you through that, and then we're going to slide right into quality number 3 about taking those goals and actually putting them into action. Passion-driven action that drives our focus, discipline, effort, and action so that people can be put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us, so that we can be endowed with even more ability and find the joy that only comes in doing the work of creation, so that we can celebrate the realization. Thanks, everybody, for being here with us tonight. I would ask you to study this week scroll number 8. I'll multiply my value 100-fold. When we have a clear vision, relationships, finances, and we know why we're doing what we're doing every day, we are multiplying our value 100-fold at least. So let us take the action to do this and begin the process so we know every day when we wake up, I'm doing this to get me there. I'm not going to go spend a bunch of time there and live beyond it in fantasy. That's my target. I've been there. I've seen what's possible. Now I'm focusing all my energy on doing the next thing to bring me one step closer. That's why we do our goal setting. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for being with us tonight. And we'll look forward to being back with you next Tuesday night at the same time. Good night, everyone.